You're listening to the Delane MD podcast. Now here's your host, Dr. Delane Vaughn.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Delane MD podcast. Today, we're going to be talking about processed foods, how they affect our brain, and how they affect our body, and why I recommend against eating them while you're trying to lose weight. So I want to start off by saying when I'm talking about processed foods, I'm talking about foods that are not in their naturally occurring forms. I am not talking about natural carbohydrates and sugars that are found in fruits and vegetables. I'm talking about things that are processed and placed on a shelf in our grocery store. The first part of why processed foods, carbohydrates, and sugars are a problem for us is relates to our primitive brain. Our brain can be divided into two different parts. One is our primitive brain and the other is our prefrontal cortex. Our primitive brain works off of rewards and avoidance of pain. It is urges and instincts that primarily drives our primitive brain. Our prefrontal cortex, on the other hand, is the more rational part of our brain. It's the part of our brain that tends to weigh out pros and cons and make a decision in our best interest. Our primitive brain is strongly affected by reward neurotransmitters. So some of these neurotransmitters are things like dopamine or serotonin or oxytocin. When we talk about food, we primarily talk about dopamine because that's what's primarily released when we eat. However, all sorts of activities that we do release these feel-good neurotransmitters. The point of these neurotransmitters were to reward behaviors or promote behaviors of our pre-evolutionary ancestors into performing things that would promote the survival of us as a species. This is how we became the dominant species on the planet. So when we do activities that benefit us as a species, we get hit with these feel-good hormones. When we have sex, we procreate our species. That promotes the survival of us as a species, and we get a release of feel-good hormone in the form of oxytocin. Tribal living. We did better when we lived as tribes versus living as individuals. When we feel accepted, when we feel welcomed into a group of people, we get a release of serotonin. And why that is because it promoted us and our survival. Feeding our young, or when women nurse their young, you release oxytocin into your system. Oxytocin feels good. Why? Because if we don't feed our offspring, they will die and we die off as a species. Protecting our offspring, same thing. We get releases of these feel-good neurotransmitters when we do things that are protective to our offspring because that promotes us as a species. And then lastly, eating. Of course, we need to eat. Our bodies need nutrients to support our metabolism, to support the building of new tissues so that we can survive as a species. So naturally, there were feel-good hormones that were released into our brain and still are released into our brain when we eat. We have developed ways of learning to release these neurotransmitters even when we're not doing something that promotes us as a species. What this looks like, a great example is video gaming. Lots of people will spend hours and hours playing video games. They will become the world leader in Call of Duty, which is fun and does give them feel-good hormones released into their brain. But what this stems from is that tens of thousands of years ago, when we were actually having to protect our tribe or our village from a predator or another tribe or village that wanted to take over our lands, we needed to have a way that we could develop courage to go out and protect ourselves and protect our tribes. And the way we did this was through feel-good neurotransmitters. So we still release those neurotransmitters, even though there's nothing really we're protecting ourselves from in Call of Duty. But that's why some people will spend so much time in those activities that really aren't necessarily promoting us as a species. We still get that feel-good hormone. So our brains, again, they want to encourage our bodies to have activities that lead to the propagation of our species. Where we see this in food is when you eat a little, you get a little dopamine hit. Where this was important tens of thousands of years ago is that we needed to remember that those delicious berries grew behind that rock by that tree in the spring and the summer. Why? Because if we didn't remember that, we would have never gone back and eaten them plentifully during the spring and the summer so that we would have stored energy on our bodies to get us through the winter when there wasn't so much energy available to us. When we now have developed ways to store food, that we have it abundantly, we eat a lot of food and we get a lot of dopamine released into our brain. This dopamine reward system served us very well when food was not abundant, but is really becoming a problem for our bodies now that food is abundant to us. So we developed ways to process and concentrate these nutrients. This looks like storing food on a shelf, right? So we would grind down flour. We would mix it with other nutrients like water and milk and eggs and some yeast, and we would bake bread, okay? So we suddenly have a lot of nutrients concentrated in one food form. Other ways that we see this in canning and jarring of our fruits and vegetables. When we heat up foods, we cause them to release their carbohydrates, their starches, and their sugars. So when you heat up strawberries to jar into jelly, they release their sugars. So suddenly we have a concentrated form of their sugar. What that heating process also does is causes our foods to break down their fiber. When we break down that fiber, there is no longer a slowed release of that nutrient into our system. We suddenly have a large release of a larger amount of sugar into our system, again, releasing a huge amount of dopamine that feels good. So we want to eat those foods versus eating them in their natural form because there's not as large of a release of dopamine with that. The concentration of these nutrients has led to this increase in dopamine release. This causes our brains to constantly be bathed in these feel-good hormones. So what this creates is a cycle that leads to the constant desire of these foods, leading to a constant production of the dopamine. So when we over-concentrated our nutrients, that led to an overproduction of dopamine. That overproduction of dopamine leads our brain to overemphasize that food. That overemphasis of that food leads us to overcrave and over-urge those foods. That over-urge leads us to overeat those foods. That overeating of those foods lead to an even higher release of dopamine into our brain, promoting this cycle of overemphasis, overurge, overeating, overproduction of dopamine. This is why we crave the foods and why we struggle with the behaviors of not eating those foods. In our bodies, however, the eating of these over-concentrated nutrients cause the release of an over-amount or an overproduction of insulin in our body. So if you think about insulin, everybody's familiar with insulin as a medication that we use to treat diabetes. But insulin's role in your body is to actually store up energy. So insulin is released when we eat food. That insulin allows our cells to take up the blood sugar. So you eat something, your body breaks it down into simple sugars. It's transmitted across your intestinal lining into your bloodstream. Your pancreas has released insulin when the food hit your stomach. That insulin then goes through your bloodstream and basically eats up all that sugar. It causes your cells to take up all that sugar. So primarily, your muscle cells would like to take up all of that blood sugar. However, when they get full or don't need that energy immediately for use, the liver will store up some of it. When the liver becomes full, your body produces more fat and it stores up that sugar as fat. And unfortunately, on our bodies, we have an endless sink of ability to store up fat. There is no maximum amount of fat that you can store up. This is where the overproduction or the overconsumption of these highly processed foods has led to so much obesity. The other problem with the insulin is that when we're constantly eating highly processed foods and constantly releasing insulin into our system, not only are we constantly in the storage mode, but we also then develop insulin resistance. And that's actually what type 2 diabetes is. Type 2 diabetes is not a disease of insulin deficiency. It's a disease of so much insulin in your system that you stop responding to it. I liken this to being in a room with 50 kindergartners. If you're in a room with 50 kindergartners, you cannot possibly respond to every noise one of those kids makes. One of them has to make a ton of noise to get your attention. But then what does that do? That amps up the underlying noise that's already present in that room. Every other kid makes a little bit of more noise too. Yes, that one kid has your attention and you can respond to it, but the next kid that needs your attention, they have to make even more noise to overcome the underlying noise in that room. It's the same thing with insulin. Yes, as a physician, I can give you a high dose of insulin to override your body's resistance to the response to that insulin, right? But what that causes your body to need next time is a little bit more insulin. And over time, there's just this steady ratcheting up of the basal insulin level. When we're prescribing insulin, that's what it looks like. Before you need insulin, though, it looks like over years, just the ratcheting up of the basal insulin to a point that your body stops responding to it. So that's where we run into problems with type 2 diabetics. The answer to a room full of 50 kindergartners is never adding more kindergartners to that room. It's never adding more noise to that room. The answer to that is to have parents come pick up their kids to where you only have one or two kindergartners that you're responsible to. You can be very responsive to whatever they need. They can whisper a need and you can hear it. You know what one has in its pocket, what the other one's thinking about doing. You can have your hand on that and be in control of that room. It's the same thing with insulin. The answer is never adding more insulin to that body. The answer is to allow that human body to burn off the insulin that's there to a point that your body and your cells start to respond to insulin in a normal way. How you do that is you stop stimulating your body to make insulin. So those are the reasons that I truly believe that processed foods are a problem in our weight loss efforts. That's why they're a problem in our healthcare arena also. So I'd love to hear any comments or questions that you guys might have about this. You can contact me at DelaneMD.com and send me a message, or you can also contact me through Facebook at DelaneMD. I will be back next week with a new podcast. I look forward to seeing you guys then. Thanks.
You've been listening to the Delane MD podcast. More podcasts are available at DelaneMD.com. If you're ready to permanently lose weight and prevent weight-related disease, contact Dr. Delane Vaughn by visiting DelaneMD.com or on Facebook at DelaneMD.